Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Hold on, I'm putting my phone on silent or it'll ring and make me mad. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above today. It is Tuesday. We've just barely started the week, and today turns out to be a fairly busy day astrologically in terms of there's not a lot of things going on today, but what is going on today is fairly intense, and I want to break that down and tell you all about what is happening up there. A quick good morning to Kathy and Colleen and Diane Light and Elisa. It's great to see you out there this morning, ladies. And oh, how is everybody today? I hope you're all doing fine. Yesterday was an interesting day for me. I mean, things were going wrong all day long. It was like a day for weird communications, as in I'm on the line with a client yesterday and there's a knock at my door. I don't usually get visitors here, so I was kind of like weirded out by that. And it turns out it was the propane company coming to deliver propane, which I hadn't even asked for, but yay, that I needed. So there was that. And then yesterday afternoon, somewhere right around noon, my phone starts ringing incessantly, like my landline. And I'm still on with the same client, by the way, that we got interrupted with the propane company. And when I would see the caller ID, it would say code red, code red. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what this means. And literally 15 phone calls from that number, code red, during my conversation with my client. Talk about distraction. I mean, I literally just had to cut it out because otherwise I would have had to go answer that phone. Finally, after I get done with her, I'm picking up the phone and I'm looking at it. It rings again in my hand and I answer it this time. And I'm like mad, right? I'm loaded for bear now. And I'm like, you better have a darn good reason for calling me. And it turns out it was a Skagit County, the county I live in, a Skagit County emergency management warning that they were going to be doing a tsunami warning. And they didn't want people to get scared and call 911. So they were sending out this phone call that said code red, freaking people out to begin with a phone call coming from code red to let us know that they were going to do a test. I was beyond belief upset over the whole thing in the first place. And then to find out it was that, and I'm like, okay, what are they trying to tell us? Is there something that we should know? but anyway, I never did hear the test. Maybe it's on Wednesday. I don't know. That's the day they usually do these emergency tests. So anyway, interesting day yesterday, kind of a Uranus sort of day, right? Remember the moon is in Aquarius, ruled by Uranus. And yesterday we had a Uranus connection, kind of crazy day. But anyway, after that, it quieted down and I was able to get back to work and get some things done. But for a while there, it was just this crazy, crazy stuff. Let's see who else is joining us this morning. Ann Stevens, good morning. Colleen says she's having a void of moon day instead of my normal hustle. Well, the moon does turn void at about 10:06 a.m., I believe it is. No, 11:26 a.m. my time, 12:12:26 for you all on the East Coast, where it will remain void until 9:05 a.m. my time tomorrow morning, 12:05 for you all on the East Coast, when it will move out of the sign of Aquarius and into the sign of Pisces, changing the energy of the day for the next couple of days, actually. But today we are left with the moon turning void and its last aspect, which is what we always want to kind of look like. What are we going to be holding on to? What is the last aspect that we're left with before the moon turns void? And we're left this time not with a Pluto one like we have been for the last several moons that turned void. We're left with a sextile to Jupiter, which means literally if that's our last aspect, what we need or what we want, what we maybe need to focus on is an outlet for growth for ourselves, in that we have to literally come to terms with or address what it is that is stopping us from moving forward or from, you know, taking that next step in our evolution or that next step in our growth. So we're going to have several hours to contemplate that. Might be a great time for, you know, pen in hand, journal, just to be able to work with what is it that is holding you back. And I would love to hear from people out there. Is this in alignment with what you guys are feeling out there? Are you kind of in a holding spot, knowing that you have to push forward into something, but not sure of which way to go or not sure what's holding you back? Let me know if that's happening for you all. Good morning, Linda and Chanel and Marjorie Roth. It's great to see you. She had a great birthday, Linda said. Had Mexican dinner. I love Mexican food. That's awesome. So I'm glad you got to celebrate that way. And hopefully all is going good with you for your full year coming up here, your new year. Okay, so let's take a look at the other big news of the day. Venus, the planet, the goddess of beauty and harmony, the goddess of money and wealth or resource management, if you will, the goddess of our relationships and how we show up in love with one another or to love one another, is moving into Scorpio this morning. She's the one. She's moving at 10:06. That's where I got 10:06 from. So about 1:06 this afternoon for you all on the East Coast, she will move into the sign of Scorpio, where she will stay until November 1st. And Venus in Scorpio, remember we talk about sometimes how planets, you know, change costume. And as they move into different signs, they put on a different costume. When Venus moves into Scorpio, she's putting on her passionate and intense kind of costume, right? She's the very epitome of what we think of as the sexual feminine, right? There's this passionate energy that she's carrying into her relationships over the next few weeks. And the intimacy level is what we're craving. And that is what Venus in Scorpio takes us to, is that level of the body and the soul connection, right? We don't want just that superficial la-la sort of relationships. We want to go deep and we want to be impassioned in our relationships. And so for those of you who might be single and you're out there on the dating scene, that's going to color how it is that you view the people that you're going to connect with or that you want to go to the next level with. The next level would be one where we are consuming one another. We are, you know, really kind of joining together in a very passionate sort of relationship. None of those superficial dalliances are going to do, right? We really want to go deeper. And, you know, that also plays out to wanting to know somebody deeper. So you could, even in your relationships that aren't necessarily sexual or love relationships, you may want to go deeper into what it makes people tick. You may want to see the underside of things. When Venus is in Scorpio, again, it's not that superficial. It's that we want to go under. We want to see what's going on beneath the surface, under the hood, if you will. And Mercury is already there in Scorpio. So it won't be long now before the Sun joins them in Scorpio. So we're going to have this period of time, forever, however long, of these three planets digging us into the depth, looking at what is under the hood, if you will. Do not forget that Venus rules your money, and that in Scorpio, sometimes it is that of managing debt or looking at other forms of resources. I would imagine that with Venus and Mercury both in Scorpio, that we may be looking at some economic news, that maybe the stock market takes a hit or the banking arena takes a hit. I know at least here in the U.S. with all of this impeachment talk and weird stuff going on like that, it could cause an instability or an instability in the stock market. And it is October, right? Most of the big economic news that comes out affects October in a way to put pressure downward on the financial world. And I'm sure there's an astrological reason for that. I'm not a financial astrologer, but I can tell you, watch your money for this month, right? Be more conservative, perhaps, in the way that you're dealing with money. Deal down or pay down debt and be very cautious about taking on any new debt right now. Particularly because not only is the energy building up in Scorpio, but Mercury is going to enter on Friday the shadow zone of his retrograde in Scorpio. So this is not probably a good time for speculation or for, you know, moving out there in a way that might endanger you financially. So be very aware, not about fear. It's just about being aware, right? The cycles and how they flow affects our money, all of our relationships. When I say relationships, mostly with Venus, we're talking about our love relationships, but we're also talking about our relationships to money, debt, credit, etc. So we have to take that into consideration as well. Okay, now today also Mars is in an opposition to Chiron. Remember, Mars is now in Libra, not a happy place for Mars, right? He's not very happy with the indecision or the ability for the sign of Libra to affect the field of fairness and justice and balance and harmony and equilibrium. He's more reactive than that. He wants to take action. He just wants to move forward. And Libra is a little bit more slow in that. Not that Libra cannot take action, but Libra wants to weigh all the sides of the issue, wants to see all of the sides before it takes action. And it puts it now in an opposition to Chiron in Aries. Libra and Aries in astrology is called the love and war axis. And it's interesting because we have the full spectrum of opportunity here for love on the high side, the high frequency energies, or war, which is anger and upset, frustration at the low end of this energy field. Remember, these are continuums or spectrums of frequencies of which we could be expressing any level within that frequency. And when you have an opposition, you've got energies pulling in opposite directions. So what we may be seeing for us as individuals is a battle between an inner battle. I would characterize this as an inner war or an inner battle between the I am and the we are, where we are emerging. We want to emerge out into the world in our strength and in our power, but we're also having to learn the energy of teamwork and being a part of a team and being supportive and supported in a group sort of relationship. And that means that while this is in play, we could have resentments that bubble up, frustration bubbling up, anger bubbling up, and it comes to the surface, and then it can cause us to strike out at others or others to strike out at us. And we are dealing with Chiron, so we're dealing with a wound. And the wound in Chiron in Aries is really about the ability to be interdependent, to see how we all need one another versus how I am a solo independent person without wanting to be dependent on anybody else, but also at the other end, not wanting to be codependent or take the energy of dependence so far that I can't make it on my own. We have to come to the middle and recognize that we are all interdependent in this. So that inner battle may be bubbling up to the surface and then striking out into the outer world. And mostly, I think you all are in the know. You feel this energy building maybe, or you hear me talking about this and you're able to manage that energy better than other people. So you may be finding yourself out there in a world where other people are modeling this to you. And let's see, anybody calling in here? Yes, I'm experiencing this, that Rebecca says this, knowing I have to make a decision, but not quite ready as things aren't crystal clear. That's kind of how I feel too, Rebecca, where I feel like that waffling energy where it's just this, you know, going back and forth. And it is getting to the point where I personally am getting frustrated and having to bite my tongue. Stay the course, right? Hold out, because I know that this is an emotion and it's flowing through, right? The field. And this too shall pass. Yes, it will. Kathy says, no motivation. I am stuck. Need to throw a dice for which thing to do next. Linda says, holding back on dispersing funds from the sale of building to my wannabe ex-husband. You're holding back that money, or is the attorney holding it back, or who's holding that back? I'm kind of confused there. Marjorie says, I feel like I'm in a holding pattern this week. Been retired for 40 days and turned 64 tomorrow. Happy birthday to you, Marjorie. Thought I'd know what next chapter might be, but I don't. I just know I want to do it, in quotes, the way I always thought I would. Good morning, Tricia Gelder. Good to see you, my birthday sister there. So Marjorie, let's talk about that for a little bit, because yesterday we were talking, we finished up our chat around the Gate 48, where we were dealing with the void, right? We were dealing with that idea of the well. The Gate 48 on the spleen in your human design chart takes us deep into our inner world. And remember, we talked about having to have the faith to hold that space, to know that all of those resources are within us, that we need not look outside of us for any kind of answer. It's all here within you. And that sometimes we just have to hold space in that void until it crystallizes or it appears. I know sometimes it's hard to remember that in the heat of the moment, where here you are sitting now with all of this time on your hands, and what do I do, right? Where am I going to go? Who am I going to hang out with? Who do I want to spend my time with? Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? So it's okay to hold that space is what we eventually find out, right? That it will come up, that if you just go into the nothingness, the no thing, right? The no thing, and sit there, the right energy or the right opportunity, the right people, the right rhythm and timing will emerge and create a pathway to that prosperity for you. And prosperity, not necessarily money, right? Just we feel prosperous when we feel like our gifts and our talents are being utilized in the world, that we feel like we're making a contribution. And I think that may be what you're feeling like. And remember, 64 is an interesting age. It's the eight times eight, right? It's the eighth, it's a human number. 64 is the number of codons you have on your human design or in your DNA, and the number of gates in human design, the number of gene keys. So interesting number there, the 64. And you will get to what you are meant to be doing next, Marjorie, even if that is just holding space for the time being. Relax, right? Relax. Do some reading. Do some exploring. I forgot what sign you are. Well, you must be a Libra, right? So I don't remember if we had a chat about what type you are, Marjorie, but through your human design. But follow your type and your strategy, and that will tell you what comes next in terms of whether you're waiting for an emotional connection to something or an intuitive connection to something, etc. Okay, good one, Linda. Okay, so let us move on to something else here today. And this is going to be a little bit different from what we normally talk about. We've talked before about there are these 30 degrees of each zodiac sign, and that the 0 degree and the 29 degree are what we call karmic degrees. And that they, when there are planets sitting at those degrees, that we pay attention. If you have something in your own natal chart at either one of those degrees, it really forces your energy to look at karmically what's going on in that sign or in that house, or both in that sign and in that house. And we talked about the fact that the first 15 degrees of the sign is, you're sort of in the learning process. It's the book learning, right? I'm in class, I'm learning how to apply this knowledge. And now when we get to the 16th degree, we make that transition out to the outer world. So you could say the first 15 degrees are classroom study, and the last 16 degrees, you are in service out there in the world. You are actually demonstrating your gifts and your talents, which is interesting, because that's exactly what the Sun at Gate 48 would say, is that enough book learning, right? Enough of that. You got to get out there and do, right? You have to be able to demonstrate that you know what you're doing. And it was interesting, because I was watching a show last night on TV. I have no idea what it was called. It was a doctor show. And there's this kid who's a young cardiologist in training and a resident. Thank you, Mimi, for having given me that word the other day. He's a resident in cardiology, so young and very inexperienced. And his attending doctor or his boss says to him, you know, can you handle this client, this patient, you know, go evaluate where he is? And this guy says, yes, absolutely. And the young guy makes a mistake, and the patient literally has a stroke, and there's, you know, he lives, but there's this big issue, right? And everybody's up in arms because this has happened. But the attending doctor says to the younger doctor, this is going to happen, right? You have to step out there. You have to risk making mistakes. You have to risk it all in order to learn the next step. right? We're all going to make those mistakes. So I was just glancing at our astrology charts this morning, and I noticed that there are a number of planets building up to the 16th degree. We have the planet Pallas, Pallas Athena. She's sitting at 16 degrees of Scorpio. We have Ceres, the goddess of abundance, in 16 degrees of Sagittarius. We have the moon this morning at 16 degrees of Aquarius. And then we have Neptune sitting at 16 degrees of Pisces. And I went, right? That can't be, that just can't be a coinkydink. In 2 days, the sun is going to be at 16 degrees of Libra. Now, I'm not saying it's odd that they're at the 16th degree. That's not what I'm saying, because the sun is going to be there every month. It's going to move through the 16th degree of a sign, and so is the moon. But Pallas and Ceres and Neptune move a lot slower, right? So the fact that all three of them are sitting at the 16th degree right now made me go, what is that about? So I started digging in to see what that was about. So first I thought we would talk a little bit about what Pallas Athena is, because she today, what really got me going today was that Pallas Athena, she's got such a rich tapestry of mythology surrounding her. And I really, at some point, I want to dig into all of the mythologies around her. Of course, the biggest mythology was the fact that she was born fully formed from an injury from her in her father's head. Her father was Zeus, the sky god, right? The main masculine god. She springs fully formed from his head, and ends up with being the goddess of wisdom and the goddess of war. Or maybe she's much more about the wisdom to know when we go to war and when we don't go to war, right? She's holding that more cautious wisdom around warfare. She is also the goddess of and represents freedom and democracy. You often, you know, you could say that Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty, is a representation of Pallas Athena. Some of the symbology is the same. We could also say that there is this idea that democracy is something that's worth fighting for, right? Worth fighting for. In your human design chart, democracy, democratic leadership is what is in evidence. Right, there's no gates in your human design or in your gene keys that represent authoritarianism or corporatocracy or plutocracy, but there are gates that represent the leadership by a vote, which is democracy. And I just find this all so fascinating that this is all building up right now. So she represents the feminine warrior. Now, Neptune, the planet, is representing the god of the under or the ocean, right? Poseidon and Neptune, they're Greek and Roman versions of one another. He rules the depth of the ocean, the watery world of the deep ocean, and is a masculine god, right? He is definitely not, there's no feminine there, even though part of me wants to really rewrite Neptune to be a more feminine energy. You're putting a masculine god in charge of the deep ocean, which is like the void, which is like the womb, which is like the feminine. So how did the god Neptune get there? Well, in a masculine world, that would happen. So I'm on the hunt to find a better goddess to rule the ocean, because I'm not so certain that Neptune is the great representation for a new age, for a new paradigm to rule what is the feminine world. I think in a way it represents the masculine having overtaken the feminine. And that was a historical time, right? That is something that was a part of our evolution. Well, where do we find ourselves now? We find ourselves now with Pallas, Ceres, and the planet Neptune at the 16th degree of their relative signs. We are now on a new course of demonstrating a new paradigm in the world. And what is that new paradigm? So I went looking this morning for that information, and I found it in the Sabian symbols. Some of you may have heard of the Sabian symbols. This was there's different people who have taken up this work. It really goes back very far in time, like to the 1920s, maybe 1930s, where a woman in a a sort of subconscious state or a hypnotic state, goes through every degree of the zodiac and assigns it a meaning. And it ends up being this beautiful work of art. Since then, astrologers have organized it and put it together in, as in degrees of ascension, if you will, not being one degree is better than another, but how does this tell the tale of our evolution of consciousness through the zodiac? That's the way I would look at this. And once you get to the 16th degree, right, it's where yin overcomes yang. So the timing of our movement toward embodying the highest ideals of a society or of our culture. So we have been, if you just even look, and you guys in other countries will have to look at how this might be playing out in your own countries. But in our country, what we have visited the last several weeks, months, maybe last few years, is the seedier side, the ugly side, right? The sick or ill side of our ideals of our cult in our culture of democracy and freedom. We've been exploring that underworld there, right? The seedier side of those things and how corruption has entered into the picture and how one person's idea of draining the swamp has turned into a whole new swamp of corruption and greed and weirdness, right? So we have, and it's really sort of the dying death knell, if you will, of that masculine yawn energy, letting go, but still holding on to its old paradigm. As we move forward here, we are making that shift into the yin energy. And the yin energy is about embodying our highest ideals. We talk about this all the time in the human design aspect of the gate 50 and the gate 27 on the feminine tribal energy, where the gate 50 is about the values. What are the values of the tribe? It is distinctly feminine to lay down those values, to set up the laws and the rules by which we will engage as a society. What are the ideals and the values that we want to embody? How do we want to be known, right? How do we want to be known in this tribe, in this community, in this nation, or in this planet, right? That's the feminine energy. And so here we are at this cruxed time. It is only one masculine planet that's sitting there. These other two, Pallas and Ceres, are both feminine planets taking up their rightful place on this throne of embodying new ideals. It is the feminine that tasks the masculine to go out and support those ideals, to protect those ideals. Right? That's what this energy is all about. So we see Pallas as a symbol of freedom and democracy and wisdom and warfare and the feminine warrior, right? That idea of being the embodied feminine and going out now, taking the book learning. She's observed, she's learned, she's been in the books. It's now time to take that and walk her talk, right? We're really talking about that, walking your talk, right? So now we are moving that, walking our talk out into the world as it's seen through the feminine warrior here. And I was thinking about that this morning too, in terms of our presidential election here. You know, we're coming into 2020 and that'll be the quickening of all of that rhetoric and that politicizing and all of that mudslinging and all of that. And I'm wondering if those feminine aspects out there, the women out there, can they come, let the go of that 15 degree paradigm, if you will, of the old, and walk into the new and embody new ideals, embodying them, not just speaking about them, but that's where it starts, right? Speaking to them. But can she embody them? Or is there a masculine character out there that can embody the new, right? These new energies. When you look at the older men that are running, they're already in trouble, right? Bernie Sanders having a heart attack. Joe Biden, I don't know if he's going to be able to come back from the smear campaign or if there's something there to be told about his story politically. So that leaves quite a few women in the field that can take up their rightful place. But they're going to have to be able to embody the highest ideals of everything that we've come to love so dearly here. And that's freedom and democracy and the wisdom to know what to do in the time of a crisis, right? That's the feminine energy. Now, it's interesting too, because the last half of a sign has a theme. The last half of Scorpio's theme, where Pallas is now sitting, is about faith. So we come back to this idea that we have to have faith, that everything is happening in its right and perfect timing, and it is unfolding exactly as it should. It couldn't do anything but be unfolded in that way, that no matter how ugly it looks, no matter how upsetting it is, there's a purpose and a process that's in play that we may just not be able to see. We have to have faith that everything is happening as it should, and that we will make this transition to this new energy, right? Embodying of the highest ideals of our culture. And then when we look at Ceres, the mother goddess, the goddess of the harvest, the goddess of plenty, the one of natural cycles. Remember, she spends 6 months of the year in the greening of the earth and the ability for the earth to flourish and thrive. And then she spends the other half of the year in the more barren times where things are dying on the vine, and we go into the cocoon, if you will, or go into the cave and waiting for spring again. So she's the representation of these natural cycles of time. And she is at the 16th degree of Sagittarius. And again, what we see is this idea of having faith and an optimistic view of where we go next, right? It's transference energy. And I was thinking about transference. And I think a lot of times we see people out there in the world transferring in this transference kind of energy. But transference here is we're moving our energy into a different form, right? And a different expression. And when we look at Neptune in Pisces, that's where we get this idea of the yin overcoming the yang energy. And maybe it's not so much, maybe overpowering or overcoming is an old paradigm word. Maybe what we could say is it's that she's coming into her own power and her own form. It's the timing here that we're looking at, the timing of this movement toward embodying the highest ideals. We need to start asking that of ourselves, right? We're not going to see it in the outer world around us until we begin the process individually of embodying the highest ideals that we hold, those things that we hold most dear as a culture. But you could start that within your own family, with your own teams of people that you work with, in your workplaces, in your group associations, in the politics of your local area or your state, or, you know, it can build, right? So we have to be able to ask that of our world, but we also have to be the embodiment of it ourselves. Is all that making sense? I find this kind of exciting. To me, this is like, yes, there's a reason for all of this crazy, crazy stuff. There's a reason why this is happening, and it's about allowing the space for the yin, the feminine, to take up her rightful place. Okay, how does everybody think about that? Colleen says, yes, I was stuck for so long, then eclipse season brought clarity, moving forward so slow, but moving forward. It's all good. I love it. You're welcome, Marjorie. Good morning, Catherine Lurster. Good morning, Allison and Irina. Nice to see you. Chanel says, are you referring to the decans of each sign? Not so much the decans. The decans, and that's a great question, Chanel, because we could also separate the degrees into the decans, where for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, if you have 30 degrees of a sign, we can divide them up into increments of 10. So you would have three degrees or three groups of 10 degrees per sign, a decan. And what we say in the decans is that the first 10 degrees are the strongest embodiment of the sign. So the first 10 degrees of any sign is the most powerful for that sign. The next 10 degrees takes on the next one in the line of its element. So let's talk about, we're in Libra right now. So the first 10 degrees of Libra embody the Libran characteristics the strongest. The second would embody the next set of air sign or next air signs, which would be Aquarius energy. And then the third would embody the energy of Gemini. So we have the three decans, but that's not what I'm really talking about. I'm talking about more of the, if you're going through 30 degrees, once you reach the 15th degree, you're done with that first half. And then the second half, then of the zodiac of those 30 degrees create the expression of taking what you've learned out into the world through that sign. I hope that makes sense. I mean, we could break it down into the decans, definitely. But we don't have to do that here, because what I'm looking at is that there are these building, these planets have built themselves to the 16th degree, and that's a shift point, right? That's like the, you know, you're going up the hill, you reach the top of the hill, and then you have the downside of the hill. And it's not about up and down. It's really, that's just the best way I can give you a picture of this. So, you know, the first part, those first 15 degrees are learning all about what that sign represents and what that planet represents in that sign. And then the second half being the take it out into the world now and demonstrate what you've learned, right? Mastery is what is the next step, right? That's what we're looking at next. Okay. I hope that helps. So Marianne Williamson, this is from Colleen. What does she say? Well, Nancy Pelosi is up to something. Yeah, I don't know. I had this thought the other day and I'm sure other people have had this thought, that if indeed there's an impeachment and a removal from office and even Pence goes, that leaves Nancy Pelosi as the president. That was an interesting thought. I just wondered if there was some plan going on here, because, you know, it's just worth it to see, what is that going? What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. I mean, maybe it means nothing, but it would be an interesting thing. Especially because it seems like if the president was involved, then so was the vice president. And if one is wrong, then the other is wrong. Yeah, I don't know. Colleen says, Marianne Williamson, at the very least, is getting her message out to the mainstream. Even if they call her a nutter, they are listening. You know, exactly my thoughts too, Colleen. When I first found out she was running for president, I was so excited. Not because there might be the possibility that she could be the next president, because I really thought that was a long shot. But what I did see was that she was going to be elevating the conversation, right? She was going to be embodying the highest ideals of a culture. She was going to be speaking to that. She was going to be speaking to the fact that isn't it time for us to walk our talk, right? Isn't it time for us to grow up and become something more? Or are we going to still, you know, play this game that we've been playing, right? She's elevated that conversation to be sure. And, you know, people can call her a nutter all they want, but she speaks the truth, and she is just amazing. Someday we may end up with someone like her as a president. I don't know. Maybe we end up with her as a president. I don't know. It doesn't seem like this would be the time that that would happen. That would be a huge shift from where we are to where, you know, we would go. I'm not sure if we're quite ready for that, but I am. I'm ready to do it. Asa, good morning to you. Marjorie says, interesting. So for 40 years, my audience was determined by corporate America, yet now I'm afraid to decide my own service without being told. Yet faith and my favorite scripture is rise and shine, enlarge your borders and extend your stakes. You will. But you're coming from a culture of being told what to do and having your day being outlined by that job that you held. And now that job is done. Now you're the writer of your day, right? You're the, what was that in The Secret? Joe Dispenza. He went through this period of, you know, in the movie where he was like, I create my day. And he was talking about how he would write into being his day, right? He would speak it into being. He would write it into being. This is how it would go. This is how, what he would do. And that's where you find yourself. No longer is your day being characterized by the job. Your day is characterized by, what do I want? Where do I want to go? Who do I want to do that with? Who do I want to be now? How do I want to show up in the world now? I love it, right? That's great. And it may take some time for that shift, especially if you'd been defined for, you know, I don't know how many years you said you worked there, 40 years. So you've worked for someplace for 40 years. It's definitely time for you to create your own day, create your own next steps. Amy Moore, good morning. Chanel says she's got it. Good. Thanks. Good, good, good. All right. So it's a lot to talk about. I'm really, really fascinated by this whole idea of bringing these goddesses more and more into play. Ceres is also in a square to Neptune today. So we have Pallas Athena in a trine to Neptune. We have Ceres putting the pressure on Neptune in a square. And I'm sure if I looked deeper, we'd see, remember that Black Moon Lilith is conjunct Neptune. So the goddess energy is pressuring these old archetypal masculine energies. And I would really love to find a replacement goddess, or at least a goddess that could rule the deep. I don't know. I still can't imagine why a masculine energy was ever put in charge of the deep ocean. That should be feminine. Makes perfect sense to me. So let's look for that personage, that model of the deep ocean that is a feminine representation of the deep ocean. So I think that will be fun. All right. Now today in the Pleiadian earth energy, we have three breathing. So in the Pleiadian earth energy, it's based on the calendar work by Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith in combination with the group from the Pleiadians that they channel called Larkma. And the energies are broken down into the universal energy of the day, represented by a number, and the earth energy of the day, which is represented by a word. So today's energy, universal energy, is three, which is the energy of creating, right? Being able to create something, you know, bringing something up out of the void and bringing it into creation. And I thought that was interesting. That's an interesting visual for you, Marjorie, as you're creating this new step for you, right? What are you creating? What are you bringing up out of the void and, you know, creating now? And then the energy of breathing is Ike or Ik in the Mayan calendar, which was the representation of the wind. So it is the seeding, if you will, of ideas, the conversation of ideas, the sharing of those ideas with people around the world, with different cultures in new ways. There is a bit of unpredictability. The wind is kind of capricious and it's fickle and it just moves, right? It blows and then it stops and then it blows. And on the wind is the seeds of new things, right? So today's energy in the Pleiadian earth energy is about seeding new energy. I think I did that here this morning in chatting about these feminine goddesses, this change over to the yin energy and bringing that energy up. That's a new idea. And I'm inviting all of you to sit with that and embody that and bring that up more and more, right? Share that idea, right? What are we creating here, right? What comes next? It can't be the same as it's always been because it's epic failing, right? Epic fail is written all over everything that's going on in the outer world right now. So that leaves an interesting space for us to what comes next, right? If we can think outside of the box, Moon and Aquarius helps us think outside of the box. What comes next? What could be? What would we love to see? If we were writing what comes next, what would it look like? Would it be more of the same? I doubt it. I think we're all stressed and anxious and you know, sort of demoralized by what we're seeing out there. So what comes next? What do we write in its place? And how do we expand that outward? And, you know, we've got to do it from a position of newness. We can't do it from the old, right? That old way isn't working. So it's not democracy that's not working. It isn't freedom that isn't working. Those ideals still hold, but we have to express them in a new way, in a more equal way, in a more harmonious way. What does that look like? What does that look like? Well, we can look to Pallas Athena for a model of how that looks. We can go to Ceres and see what does it look like when we're spreading abundance and we're spreading plenty instead of, you know, holding back resources from people, or seeing that there are people out there who have no resources while others have way too much, right? Remember the Gate 48, it was about what's prosperity versus what's wealth. Prosperity is about having just over enough, right? Enough to be able to share. Wealth is way too much, right? That way too much. So, and those are words, they're just words, but maybe we don't have a better word to explain what that overage is, right? What you know, when you're sitting on a mountain of gold versus a hill of gold, right? What's, you know, you're not comparing apples to apples at that point. So we are writing a new dialogue about how we want this world to be and about how we want our lives to be from here. We get to do this. It's our turn. So Allison has a couple of questions, which are completely off topic. That is okay. We're getting meteor showers today, tomorrow, and October 21st and 22nd. Do the showers affect the planets? And in your opinion, is there such a portal as the 1010 portal? Oh God, Allison, if I had to talk about one more stupid portal that people bring up around numbers, I would just throw up. If this was 10, when, so 1010, October 10th is what I presume you're talking about. But that isn't the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, it's 1010, 20, 19. So if numerology would suggest we have to add 10 plus 10 plus the 2019, well, 2019 is a 3, right? 10 and 2 is 12 plus, or 1 plus 2 is 3. So then we have 10 and 10 is 20, 20 plus 3 is 23, that is a 5. That isn't a portal, right? People make this stuff up, right? It sells, right? It sells stuff and it gives them something to talk about. There is no portal, right? The portals are the new moons. There are portals out there. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there aren't portals, but when you see there was, you know, in 2011, we had the 11-11-11 portal. Did we just forget that there was a 2 in all of that? Right, that we just choose arbitrarily to take those last two digits and bring them into this conversation of portal. So we got to be very careful that we're not, you know, just creating these amazing things. You know, now when you, if we were on March 3rd, we would have had a 333. Did you hear anybody talking about that? No. Why? Because it isn't as sexy as 10, 10, 10 or 11, 11, 11. The 3, 3 and the 3 would have been the actual, maybe there would be a portal around the 3, 3, 3 because 2019 is a 3. There might be one around 12, 12, 2019 because 12 and 12, 12 is a 3. That would make another 3, 3 and 3. That to me would be an interesting portal, an interesting conversation to have. So I don't want to be stepping on other people's beliefs and all of that kind of thing. If you believe it's a portal, then great. But just ask yourself, why are people saying that's a portal? Right? Just because there's two numbers out of three that could be, it doesn't make sense. So we've got to be careful about those things. And I think you've also got to look at, well, okay, it's a 1010 universally, but is that a 1010 in my own numerological profile, in my own astrology? Because, you know, you as an individual may not be in resonance with that at all, right? So we may be looking for things to happen and we sit there in expectation and then nothing happens and our expectations become dashed because of a thing. It's like fake news, right? This fake thing someone makes up. So, and unless there's something more to that 1010 portal that I don't know about, which at this point I can't say that I know that it's anything different than that, right? So be aware of falling into those amazing, you know, portals that people say. It's really, you know, just an attention grabbing thing. And it's a distraction. It's distracting you away from what is really happening, right? So I hope that helps. Or did I just step on your beliefs? And the meteor showers. Okay, let's deal with that question. So meteor showers today, tomorrow, and then on the 21st and the 22nd. Well, the Earth periodically passes through areas of space where there is more debris. And it's that debris that creates meteor showers. This often happens in when the sign Taurus is on the zodiac and also when Scorpio. So part of this meteor shower looks like it might be in Libra. The other part of that is going to be at the very end of Libra. So I'm not sure if that's, I haven't heard of what that shower might be. But, you know, as the Earth passes through those fields, we get more meteor showers. But it's something that's visible here on this planet. I don't think that would be visible necessarily from other planets. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. As those other planets would transit through those fields, right, those asteroid fields or those, you know, debris fields, they would experience those kind of meteor showers. We know we see meteors fall on Jupiter all the time. And I'm sure the other planets, Mercury is pockmarked. The moon is pockmarked. We know that meteors and meteorites and asteroids have been hitting all of the planets in the solar system. But I just don't know that they have the same kind of meteors at the same time that we're having them. But I always think they're, I kind of like to look at them as, you know, messengers of a point in space that the Earth is passing through. And we've passed through these spaces before, because every year we see these, you know, meteors happening at these specific times. And there's just something about the consistency of knowing that the Earth is actually moving through these places, and we see the evidence of it every time we pass through that field. So I hope that kind of answers your question, Allison, or did I just open up another big thing? That's what she thought too. Good, good, good. That's why I come to you. I love it. Thank you, Allison. And Rebecca says, I'm still contemplating the whole manifesting, getting what you want versus receiving what you are meant to have next experience from divine will. This is my dilemma, I guess. You know, it's interesting because we all have dilemmas or conundrums. I like to call them, in human design, we call them conundrums. But we could call them, you know, you're in a pickle, or you're in a dilemma. Because there's seemingly these two things, right? And they almost seem like they're in odds with one another. It's part of our experience being here on a planet that's based in duality, right? Where we have these two things. And how do we, you know, come to the middle at least, or maybe weighing which one is, you know, more important at this moment in time. So manifesting, getting what you want versus receiving what you are meant to have. You know, there's a card. We just pulled that card too, not too long ago. I'm trying to think of what card it was that said, you will never lose what was meant for you. And so if something is meant for you, you will absolutely get it. If it's not meant for you, then it's not something that you're going to receive, and being okay with that. And then I think what I hear you saying is, how does that bump up against with I manifest my reality or I create my reality? Right? And all of that is to say that we have in the human design gate 30, which is about our desires, but it's more like our attachment to the outcome of those desires, right? I may say to the world, I want to be a millionaire, right? I could say that, and I could, you know, I could write that into being, but if it being a millionaire isn't the correct thing for me, it's probably not going to happen. And I wouldn't know necessarily why that is, but I would also have to have faith that it is the right thing. I don't know. I struggle with it too, right? I struggle with it too. I like the idea that I create my reality, that I can have whatever I want, that the only thing standing in my way is my own, you know, belief about it. But I have a sense that there's something more to that, that is written in our soul plan. And maybe I don't have as much access to that in my conscious waking, and that if I had that, it might take me down the wrong road. It might take me in the wrong path, that I almost have to have faith that my identity center, my steering, right, my compass is putting me in the right place at the right time with the right people and the right experiences. And if I was meant to be in that experience of being a millionaire at this moment in time, I'd be there. Does that make sense to people? There's no small amount of faith that goes with that. And then the idea then is to not be attached to an outcome, because the universe may be contriving something much better than that. I don't know. It's one of those things that we can keep going around and around with, right? About free will, destiny, fate, attachment, detachment, desire and want, and creating your reality or not. It's just fascinating to me that we have to deal with that. Rebecca says, yes, I've received what I want all year, but now I want what's right for me long-term. Now you want what's right for you long-term. I gotcha. And I guess that's how you put that just out there to universe, right? To God, or to you, even to your own self, right? You put out there, I want what's right for me. Put me in the way of what is correct for me. You know, make sure I'm available and open to receive what comes next, right? And that is, I think, where our free will really is, right? That using our compass to say, because remember, the identity center is a one-way compass. It only has attractive power. It doesn't have repelling power. So it is an attractive force. It is a monopole. A monopole meaning it's got only one magnetic job, and that is to attract. And what it's attracting to you is what's meant for you, the right things, right? But we can get in our own way. We can put ourselves in alignment with something that was totally incorrect. And then, you know, we are not seeing exactly what it is that's, it's like, you know, there, but we keep missing it because we are too busy trying to create something over here that might not be right for us. So being in alignment says that at one time you're in the right place to get the right experiences, and that no matter what is happening, is also the right experience at the right time, in the right place, in the right way. Total conundrum. You're totally welcome, Rebecca. So I'm sure that's a totally unsatisfying concept, right? That, you know, but you can choose by what you focus on, right? What you focus on is literally what the universe is hearing that you wanted to experience. So if you're always focused on the negative things, you're focused on the I don't get, or I've never gotten what I wanted, or that kind of thing, then that becomes the self-fulfilling prophecy. But if you're always in gratitude for what you are experiencing and always letting the universe know I'm open to receive what's next for me, then that's a different conversation that you're having with the universe, and that's being created. So I think your real power is in how you're using your mind and your emotions to create, not necessarily wanting something over here and then being put out when you don't get it and thinking that the universe isn't helping you, because maybe you getting that would be a big problem versus something over here, if you're staying open, that the universe would bring you something even better, bigger, better, wonderful, the right thing in the right time. The mysteries of the universe, right? All right. Wow. It's almost 9 o'clock. I can't believe this. I need to get moving here. I hope everybody has a wonderful day. I will see you tomorrow morning when the Human Design Week shifts into the Gate 57. And we start talking about a different fear, a fear of the future. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.